This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on the 2nd of November, 2023. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson on the news today. Another update from the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis and USDA talking about weather possibilities this winter. At Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm forecast the rest of the week and through the weekend dry. And the Wednesday soybean and wheat markets higher. Analysis coming up with Tom Fritz here on the Hat Morning Podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Making agriculture your life's work comes with challenges that can leave you feeling alone. I'm Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. And when you're a member of ACI, you have agribusiness advocates in your corner, similar agribusiness members to network with, and opportunities for continued education. If your business serves Indiana agriculture, we need your perspective and hope you'll become a member of ACI. Visit inagribiz.org, the Agribusiness Council of Indiana, strengthening and connecting Indiana agribusiness.
A Connersville High School student shares her passion for agronomy and FFA and the return of El Nino. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's of Indiana, a proud sponsor of Hoosier Ag Today's coverage of the 96th National FFA Convention and Expo. McDonald's salutes the next generation of great farmers who will continue to supply the world-class ingredients served to millions under the Golden Arches. Well, speaking of that next generation, nearly 70,000 people are in downtown Indy this week for the National FFA Convention and Expo. One is a student from Fayette County, Indiana, who is competing during this year's convention.
I'm doing agriscience, and I'm a national finalist for my plant and soil systems agriscience project.
And that's Emma Ruff, who's a junior at Connersville High School. She says she has a passion for agronomy and agriscience.
My dad's a farmer, and he just found seeds when I was in eighth grade, and he's like, you want to do a fun project? So I'm like, yeah, sure. So I did it, and my advisor was like, you can do this project and see if you win state. And I did. So that changed my perspective of what I wanted to do in my career field.
So what project did Emma put together this year to compete in the National FFA AgriScience Fair?
This year I did a FFA corn project, which I called Color Crossing Corn. I bred two different colors of corn, yellow and blue, and tried to get a co-dominant corn, which has both colors and the corn, and I was super successful with it. I had multiple corn ears that had blue and yellow kernels on it.
Emma's project is even more impressive when you realize that she's 16 and still a few years away from college. But she says she already knows where she plans to study.
I want to become a plant geneticist. I want to go into Purdue and major in plant biotechnology and genealogy.
Emma says being an FFA has given her the tools to not only grow as a student, but also as a leader.
FFA has helped me gain my leadership skills. I'm a district officer, which is a step above chapter, and I want to go for section director and then hopefully state. FFA has helped me with finding who I am and what I really want to be interested in.
You can check out Emma's AgriScience project on the new Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, a free download for iPhone and Android. Well, even though it's been a dry summer and fall for most of Indiana, the USDA is already looking ahead to possible weather conditions for the coming winter. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Experts say we're heading into an El Nino for the first time in 5 years. Typically, during El Nino, we see a weakening of the northern polar jet stream and a strengthening of the southern or subtropical jet stream. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says temperatures should be mild and warm for most of the country, particularly along the northern tier.
Extending all the way from parts of California and the Pacific Northwest through the northern plains, the Midwest, the Great Lakes states, and the Northeast. So we are expecting mild weather. That doesn't mean every single day during the winter is going to be warm, but if you average the 90 plus days of winter, we do expect to see above normal temperatures, particularly in the northern U.S.
And he says while temperatures may be above normal, snow amounts may be below.
The precipitation outlook for December of 2023 through February of 2024, with that weakened northern or polar jet stream, oftentimes we see drier than normal conditions extending across parts of the northern United States. Typically, that is most likely to happen across the northern Rockies and northern plains, as well as the Great Lakes region. That can translate into less than normal snowfall in many cases.
It's a different story for those down south.
And then with the hyperactive southern or subtropical jet stream enhanced by El Nino, oftentimes we see a very active storm track across the south. This year, this winter, we're expecting that above normal precipitation pattern to extend from California eastward through the Four Corners region, the central and southern Great Plains, and then through the Gulf Coast states, and even extending along the Atlantic coast as far north as southern New England.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Radio Network.
Every farm needs a good set of hand tools. Well, here's one that's free and one you'll find yourself reaching for several times a day. The new Hoosier Ag Today mobile app with markets, weather, and breaking farm news, along with the daily Hoosier Ag Today podcast on your mobile device 24/7. Download the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app from the Apple Store or Google Play. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Add it to your toolbox today.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Moving through the rest of this week and weekend, we are dry all the way through. Temperatures today not as cold as what we saw earlier in the week. And southwest flow really helps our temperatures moderate tomorrow through the weekend. Evaporation ramps up, and I do think we have a great opportunity for field work. I hope you're planning on taking advantage of it if you still have stuff to do. Early next week, we have a massive weather system coming out of the northern plains and shooting across the upper Midwest and across the Great Lakes. That one, though, looks like it's going to stay just north of Indiana for the most part. Good rains in Michigan, almost all of Michigan getting action. But in Indiana, I just think we see some offshoot clouds for Monday and midday and afternoon, and I'm keeping precipitation out of the state right now. If we continue to see it that way, Tuesday and Wednesday will feature a mix of clouds and sunshine. Will be a little bit cooler, but not brutally cold. And that lines us up for a significant storm complex to come through next Thursday afternoon through Friday. Rain and thunderstorms bringing anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches. Coverage will be 100% of the Hoosier State. So that's going to be our next big rainmaker here in the Hoosier State, the way we're seeing things right now. Behind that system, we get cooler for the weekend, the 11th and 12th, but we are also dry. So I think if we can make it through the next 10 to 12 days with only one weather system coming through, honestly, that's a win given the frequency of precipitation that we've seen over the past few weeks. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed grains and oil seeds on Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements on the way. First, why did we do what the markets did on Wednesday? For that, I checked in at the end of trade with Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Tom, the bean and wheat markets, roughly a nickel higher. Corn market, just a little lower, a few cents down. But it appears on a Wednesday that the markets, as you often like to say, don't have anywhere to go. Explain the multitude of reasons why.
Well, we'll start with the corn market. Andy, I think we've just got more than enough corn for the time being. Our export market's not very good. South America, meaning Brazil, is still exporting corn. Weather appears to be improving for Argentina, for them to get their corn crop planted. Brazil, yeah, some of the areas, it's a little bit too wet, but they're still getting their corn planted. And where it's been too hot and dry, there's moisture on the way. So you put all this together, and the corn market has no place to go. We've been in a trading range affair, Dease corn, call it 470 to 510 since early August. And today we came within 2.5 cents of challenging that 470 low. Managed to get a little bit of a bounce, but personally, you know, it's like, where can we go? You know, next Thursday, November 9th, the USDA is going to update production. I don't see them giving us any numbers to pop us out of this trading range affair. In fact, if anything, you know, some folks have been alluding to the idea that the USDA should raise the yield a little bit. And if they did, well, you're going to break out to the downside. So, but in the meantime, I think between now and next Thursday, we will continue to spin our wheels. The wheat market caught a bid today, I just think, from oversold. The wheat market's been in quite the sewer shot lately, if you will, especially the Kansas City market, you know, flirting with some oversold. Russia announcing an export ban on durum wheat. You know, granted, they don't grow that much durum wheat, but still, you know, the psychological ramifications of it. Also, Europe is a little bit concerned about too much water right now that will impact their planting of winter wheat. So just enough out there. Oh, and also overnight it was reported that Ukraine reported that Russian airplanes are dropping bombs in the path of grain ships. Not dropping bombs on the grain ships, but in the path of grain ships. So you put all that together, and especially with the short-term oversold, it gives the wheat market a little bit of a bid. But still, you know, go look at your price charts on wheat. Where are we going? We're not going anywhere. You know, you would think we'll eventually, you know, catch hold and do a little bit of sideways here. But every time in the past we've thought that when we've had a day like this, 2 days later, the market continues on its merry way to the downside. Soybeans kind of spinning their wheels here. If I didn't know better, the soybean market was about crush trading, buying beans and selling products. Not a lot of new news out there for soybeans. The weather in Brazil, you know, the folks in southern Brazil will say it's a little too wet. Northern Brazil, it's too hot and dry, but there is rain in the forecast. There's rain in the forecast for Argentina. So, you know, I think that makes people a little reluctant to chase the soybean market. Soybean meal, which had been our leader, looks like it's gone into a little bit of a consolidation mode. Some folks are saying that the meteoric rise that the meal market has seen, that last Friday's run to new contract highs may have been a blow-off top. Well, if it is a blow-off top, we're not going to be up here for much longer. Price levels to watch in Dease meal, I think, are 423, 422. But right now, the meal market, you know, it corrected on Monday, consolidated on Tuesday, and consolidated on Wednesday. Soybean oil, it goes the route of crude oil. You know, earlier today, crude oil was higher. Soybean oil was higher. But look at it now. Crude oil is lower. Soybean oil is in the tank. So right now, soybean oil has no friends because everybody's focusing on the meal market. And when you're bullish on meal, you're bearish on soybean oil. So, you know, the bottom line is bean oil, maybe a little bit oversold. But unless you get some sort of a back off in the meal market, the best soybean oil is going to do is just sit here at these current low levels.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hoosier Ag Today, Wednesday, farm market review down in corn, December, Wednesday, 475 at the settlement, down 3.75. March goes 3.25 lower, 489.75. January beans up 4.5 cents, 1350. March settles at 1328.75, 4 cents higher. And December wheat up a nickel and a half, 561.75. Meats mixed. December live cattle, 183.62, up 7 cents. And December lean hogs, 70.15, down $1.57. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.